I have received an email from Vishnu Jandas in which he is citing a recent post on Facebook, which is preceded by some writing in bad English. I hope it will makes to open eyes. And then there is an article or series of questions and points under the title Why Bhakti Siddhan Saraswati Never Received Initiation from Gaur Kishore Das Babaji. So I'll respond to these points. It appears to me from the style and content that this was written by Jan Brzezinski. I'm not sure if that's the correct pronunciation. He was initiated by Srila Prabhupada. He gave that up and became a Babaji under Lalit Prasad Thakur. He gave that up and became an independent Babaji and Guru. This was going way back many years. Then he gave that up and went back to his native Canada and married and became a professor in a university. And a livid and learned opponent of Gaudiya Math and ISKCON, as you will see from all of this. And the latest I heard is that he's roaming around sometimes in India, and that he is propagating Sahajiyavad, that Radha and Krishna can only properly be understood if one engages in physical sex, which gives us some insights into what happens to you when you become so much inimical to and offensive to great Vaishnavas of the caliber of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Srila Prabhupada. By whose empowered preaching, persons all over the world, including Jan Brzezinski, or more commonly known as Jagat these days. He was Jagadananda, now Jagat. He also came in, he's speaking here, taking the position of, and not exactly advocating any prominent, any particular position, but just bashing that of the Gaudiya Math and ISKCON, the followers of, bashing Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, but without giving his own opinion. It may not have been written by him, but presumably it was written, if not by him, by someone who came into Krishna consciousness by the mercy, by the ministration, by the preaching of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and his followers. It appears to have been written quite some time ago, because in this article he refers to Rajneesh, who is from a long time better known as Osho. The name Rajneesh is not used anymore. Incidentally, the latest I heard of Jagat is that he's taken a much more favorable view of ISKCON, seeing the positive influence it's had on the world. So this which is circulating now may not even be the present stance of the person who wrote it. Anyway, to go on to the questions come comments. Number one, how can you take sannyas in March 1918 while you're Guru passed away in November 1915. Gauriya Mart chronicles admit that Bhaktisiddhanta took sannyas in his room from a photo. Sannyas cannot be taken from a photo without physical permission of the person on the photograph, but from a living sannyasi. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's sannyas was similar to that of Ramanuja, whose guru, well, he's said to have had several gurus, but in the line of the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya, the one before him, the prominent acharya is known as Yamuna Acharya, who passed away before Ramanuja could take instruction from him. So Ramanuja took sannyas by himself, in sitting in front of the deity in Kanchi, I believe it was. So the two are analogous, that prior to Ramanuja, Vaishnavism was in the world, but not very prominently, not in a very organized way. Advaitavad of Shankara was very prominent. At that time, the Vaishnava Dharma, which Ramanuja introduced, was considered new, but it's come to be accepted because of Ramanuja's tremendous spiritual prowess in his establishing on the basis of Shastra the process of worshipping of Narayana, and establishing on the basis of Shastra, and also practically by bringing it to the world and initiating many people and convincing many people to take it up. So it may seem that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur did something new. That is required from time to time, just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did something new. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, acting as an acharya, did something apparently new. It's not for everyone to do, but some people do that because of the necessity in for establishing the mission of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the world. There was a need. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur saw that there was a need to establish sannyas, or a usefulness for doing that, just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw a usefulness for doing that, although it was not known among Vaishnavas. No, I'll retract that. There were Vaishnava sannyasis at that time, but it wasn't very well known among Vaishnavas. Sannyas was not very well known, you could say. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas in the Shankara Sampradaya. So that's question number one. If Bhaktisiddhanta is Gaurakishore Das Babaji's disciple, then why didn't he give us Gaurakishore's Guru Parampara instead of saying that Gaurakishore Das Babaji was the disciple of Bhaktivinoda? Rather, Bhaktivinoda worshipped Gaurakishore and approached him for bhik. Gaurakishore took bhik from Bhagavat Das Baba, the bhik chela of Siddhanta Jagannath Das Baba. Regarding Bhaktisiddhanta's version of the rest of the Guru Parampara, Sanatan Goswami was actually the disciple of Vidyavachaspati, and so on, giving various names of I'll read them all. Rupa Goswami was a disciple of Sanatan Goswami. What do you exactly mean by disciple? Did Rupa Goswami take mantra diksha from Sanatan Goswami? Or Jiva Goswami here is stated was a disciple of Rupa Goswami. That's also, we don't know. Raghunath Das Goswami was a disciple of Yadunandana Acharya. Narottam Das Thakur was a disciple of Lokanath Goswami, not of Krishnadas Kaviraj. Vishwanath Chakravarti was a disciple of Radharaman Chakravarti and never met his would-be guru. Narottam, for they lived a century apart. Baladev Vidyabhushan was a disciple of Radha Damodar Goswami, not of Vishwanath Chakravarti. Jagannath Das Babaji lived 150 years after his would-be guru Baladev Vidyabhushan. Bhaktivinod was a disciple of Vipin Bihari Goswami, not of Jagannath Das Babaji. Yes, and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was very much aware of all of this, although some of the statements in there are questionable. For instance, Rupa Goswami was a disciple of Sanatana Goswami. Yes, we can accept that. But there's no record of him taking Diksha officially, which is the whole point that whoever's made this challenge is making, that Rupa Goswami. Raghunath Das Goswami was officially a disciple of Yadav Nandan Acharya, but practically his important guru was Swarup Damodar Goswami. Under the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was known as Swarupe Raghu. And after Swarup Damodar Goswami passed away, then Raghunath came to Vrindavan and accepted Rupa as his, Rupa and Sanatan as his guides. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was well aware of this, so it wasn't that he was just trying to cheat everyone, and he knew that all the people he was dealing with were also very much aware of this. It's very simple to understand that he gave the names of the prominent acharyas in the Gaudiya Sampradaya as the spirit of the Gaudiya Sampradaya had come down through them. So, when we say disciple, yeah, we're also disciples of Rupa Goswami. We're also here today, those of us who are practicing Krishna consciousness by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, we are disciples of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, we are disciples of Jagannath Das Babaji, in the sense that we are following in the line of instruction and of Krishna consciousness that they imparted. Why do all Gaudiya Math chronicles give different dates and places of Bhaktisiddhanta's supposed initiation? Well, they don't all give different chronicles. As far as I've seen, it's sometimes said 1919, sometimes 1901. That may be due to the exact date may not have been kept. My own experience in traveling in the villages in Bengal in the late 1970s and 1980s is that people in general were not very much concerned with facts and figures and dates and all this kind of thing like modern people in the West are. They were more concerned with the real essence of, and when it came, especially in religious matters, concerned more with the essence of being rather than everyone has to have a number and their name officially recorded. There were no such things. So the confusion may also come due to the Bengali calendar overlapping with the Gregorian calendar, whatever it may be. Sometimes it said 1900 and sometimes it said 1901. It doesn't really matter that much. Some, and here it said that some said he received Nrisimha mantra as if Gaurakishore Das Babaji was a worshipper of Nrisimha. No one says that. This is nonsense. No one said that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur received Nrisimha mantra from Gaurakishore Das Babaji. He received it from Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Number four. Where did Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati get his Brahmana thread from? He didn't get it from Gaurakishore Das Babaji, as Gaurakishore was born a Vaishya. And also, as a Babaji, even if he had a thread, he would not have worn it after taking to Babaji life. As a Vaishya, he could have worn it. I'm not sure what the tradition was in Bengal or in the caste that Gaurakishore Das Babaji was born in, but in much of India, until fairly recently, all the caste Hindus, Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, and Vaishyas, wore a thread. So, this done? Where did he get his Brahmana thread from? I'm not sure, but as he was in what's called a Kayasta, it may have been that in the Kayasta caste that they were born in, they also had the tradition of having the thread from in the family line. So he may have got it like that. No one's claiming that he got it from Gaurakishore Das Babaji. The proof that the Brahmin initiation does not exist in reality is that there is a separate 10-syllable Gopal mantra for Brahmanas and 18-syllable mantra for non-Brahmanas. This means that second initiation is not the same as Brahmin initiation. That's true. Vaishnav initiation is that's Pancharatriki Diksha. And Brahmana initiation, as it's generally understood in the world, is equivalent to the Upanayanam, which particularly Brahmana boys, but upper caste, no, all upper caste, they would receive that from the guru, from the family source. From my understanding, Srila Prabhupada called it Brahmana initiation for the reason that he wanted to establish actual Brahmanas in society, which I'll get back to a little later. What's the point that the writer of this challenge is making is that Brahmana means only by birth. That's his big thing. So, therefore, Gauriya Math and ISKCON members who are not from Brahmana caste, they can't become Brahmanas. Well, interestingly, from the very beginning of the Gauriya Math and up to the present day, there are many people who are born in Brahmana families who accept initiation in Gauriya Math and ISKCON because they find the spiritual inspiration to do so, which presumably they didn't find in their family line. But this whole point that it's in the family line, generally it is so. That has been throughout the tradition. But the fact is that the Brahmana caste, actually upholding Brahmana principles, is almost finished, you could say, in India. It's very, very, in a very weak condition for various reasons. Most people born in a Brahmana caste, they're indistinguishable from any other caste. Except that maybe most of them are still vegetarians. That's changing also. Not in Bengal, where the Gauriya Math has its roots. Not in Bengal or Orissa. Otherwise, they're not real Brahmanas in as much as... Well, many of them can be said not to be, in as much as it's stated that even in an emergency, in Srimad Bhagavatam, it's stated that even in an emergency, Brahmana should never accept shvavriti or the occupation of a dog. In other words, employment. Whereas most Brahmanas, so-called in the world today, caste Brahmanas, they're employed by others. So, as Srila Prabhupada stated, there's a need to establish actual Brahmanas in society by quality, who can lead by spiritual knowledge and behavior. So for that reason, it's apadharma. It's an emergency. In an emergency, things may be done which are unthinkable in other times because there are no proper spiritual leaders. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada wanted to create a new class of Brahmanas. In Mahabharata, there's an example given of apadharma, that one rishi, he had his disciples kill a cow and eat the flesh because otherwise they would have starved to death. Now, I'm not saying that we should do that by any means, but I'm just giving that as an example of something unthinkable which is given in Shastra. That understanding the the point, the essence, then there's something about women, gurus, which there's no, I don't, it's not very clear what the point there is. He talks about fabricating a guru parampara, but there's not it's not really a case. It's just innuendo. Gauriamat preaches to attract followers from family gurus by pointing to Srila Jiva's Goswami's statement in Bhakti Sandarbha. One should give up a mundane guru and take a spiritual guru. And, well, it's nice if they do attract followers from family gurus, and the family gurus are that much concerned with Shastric references. Most of the followers from the lines of family gurus, then they have no idea of anything in Shastra. Most of these gurus nowadays, they don't teach anything to anyone. So if they are quoting Hari Bhakti Vilas, well, that's very good. In his commentary, Srila Sanatana Goswami writes that this Abnayagata guru means a guru has come in a family succession. But it doesn't limit that. That doesn't limit the position of a guru. Oh, but what is it? Kula also doesn't necessarily, kula doesn't necessarily mean family. So, it may have done at the time of Sanatana Goswami. They also set up family lines for worshipping the deities. But if the family line becomes dead, like we see the, just like we see in Vrindavan, some of the family lines, the present members of the family lines who are worshipping the deities of the six Goswamis, smoking, drinking tea, so where's the spiritual life? What is the tilak swarup of Bhaktisiddhanta and his followers? Well, have a look and see what we're wearing. Without any fixed and distinct swarup. Why did Bhaktisiddhanta not wear his guru's tilak if he was really his disciple? Why did he not wear his guru's tilak? Well, Gaurakishore, was he always wearing tilak? Quite likely he didn't wear tilak himself. As in Hari Bhakti Vilas, I believe it's stated, or maybe it's Raghavatma Chandrika stated that those who are following the Raga, no, it wouldn't be in Hari Bhakti Vilas. Those who are following the Raga Mag, they don't wear tilak, although he may have been painted like that in pictures. So, again, it's taking the question, it's saying that, pointing out that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is not following the official guru lineage of Gaurakishore. He deliberately did that. It's not that he deliberately did that to disidentify himself with the externals of what was going on in Gauriya Vaishnavism, and take the essence, as Gaurakishore Das Babaji himself did. He didn't judge people on the basis of which line they're initiated in. He wanted to see if they were sincere. And it's well documented how Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj did accept Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. We'll find in Saraswati Jai Shri that Jagadish Bhakti Pradeep, who later became Bhakti Pradeep Tirtha, he documented how when he visited Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj, then Gaurakishore advised him to follow Siddhanta Saraswati. So Gaurakishore accepted Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati as his disciple. So if you don't like it, that's your problem. Gopichand and Tilak without any fixed and distinct swarup. Well, it's fairly clear what we follow. There's just there's the tulsi leaf shape at the top and the two lines of the demarcating the residence of Vishnu at the top. That may be a tradition that different parivars have different tilak swarupa, but that's also not stated in Shastra that each parivar of the Gaurīya Sampradaya has to have their own separate exact sampradaya. Who is a brahmana? In ISKCON Gaurīya Math we see everyone ultimately receiving brahmana initiation. That wasn't Prabhupada's idea that everyone would accept. He wanted to see that they're actually qualified. So the criticism that comes up here, I sympathize with that to some extent, that people who have fallen, they can't know, they shouldn't be considered as brahmanas, and it shouldn't just be a matter of draping a string on people. And this is why I think it was, the comment here makes me think it was written by Jan Brzezinski, Hiranyagarbha, Jagadananda, Jagat, or whatever his name is now. What to speak of knowing Sanskrit? The men don't even know Hindi or Bengali or even what the weather is like in India. That, for me, says that's Jagat, because he knows Sanskrit and Hindi and Bengali and what the weather is like in India, although none of these are any qualifications for understanding Krishna. But otherwise, the point is true that brahmana, they should be of some good standard. Envy is the cause of the mentality. Nowadays, brahmanas are full of faults. So now we will launch our own varnashram system. But that's not, it was never claimed that we're going to launch our own varnashram system. And as I've said, look around you and see. With the brahmanas themselves, those few who are strict are lamenting that the caste brahmanas, the few who are strict are lamenting that most of the members of their caste have fallen away from it. And most of them are very much supportive of ISKCON and even accept their followers as actual brahmanas, those who are the ISKCON members who are strictly following. I mean, we find very prominent persons that I've experienced myself that leaders of the Madhva Sampradaya, Ramanuja Sampradaya, the Vallabh Sampradaya have themselves, out of their own volition, come to our functions and spoke very much praise of the activities we're doing. So it's there are only a few brahmanas today who still maintain this brahmana by caste only. The ones I can think of are Jayendra Saraswati of the Shankara Mart, the Kanchi Kama Koti Pitam, who's but even he's softening. I mean, in other words, Shankaracharya, he's a full-fledged Mayavadi. Madhva Sampradaya, some of them are, that's their official line, that you can only be a brahmana by birth. Although, like I say, in practical dealings, some of them are very open to it. Some of their, acharyas, especially I can think of the, Vishveshwara Tirtha, the Pejawa Mart Swami, and Lakshmivara Tirtha of the, which one is he? So not Sode, the other one, beginning with S. And Sugurna Tirtha. So these three in particular are very open to us. In the Gaurīya line, this Haridas Shastri is of that opinion that you can only be a Brahmana by birth also. Although otherwise, we don't... And there are also some here and there in the Ramanuja line, although Ramanuja himself was so open and embracing to, and the Ramanuja line, the Alvas from the outcasts and like this. So the four castes are created by God and not by the human being Bimala Prasad Datta. This is very offensive writing. He never wrote such a thing. Religious principles. He never stated that he's creating castes. So the Bhagavad declares that a Brahmana must first be born in a Brahmana family, that always throughout the generations followed all the sanskars for Brahmanas. Well, in the same section of the Bhagavatam, the seventh canto, there's also the famous term, Yasya la lakshanang proktam pung sovana abhivyanjakam yadanyatrapi drisheta tatviniri. I can't remember the last line. Anyway, the point is that if the symptoms of various castes are found in others, they may be accepted as a member of that caste also. In other words, if someone is not a Brahmana by birth, they may be accepted as such. And that many examples, they may be accepted as a Brahmana by their behavior if they actually act as a Brahmana by behavior. Which there are many examples of given of that in the Brahmana O Vaishnava, the book by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, that's the abbreviated name of the book. The most famous of that is the Satyakama. Although Shankara says that probably his father was a Brahmana anyway, but we don't have to accept Shankara's explanation of that. The Vedas teach that a sannyasi renounces his Brahmana thread when he takes sannyas, sutra sika tyag, from Chaitanya Charitamrita. But in Gauriya Math ISKCON, sannyasis continue to wear the thread even though they're not born as Brahmanas in the first place. So it's a bit different from the sannyas that was formerly going on. It was just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas not as an intrinsic function of the soul, but as an understanding it to be an external function. Nahang vipro nacha narapatya. But as a ploy for interacting with society, for bringing them to Krishna consciousness, so did Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. A Brahmana is called a dvija or twice born. How can you have the second birth without having the first one? See Brahmana and Vaishnava. It's the Brahmana investment is of the Gauriya Vaishnava is has an external purpose and an internal purpose. Here we see the description. The Brahma Gayatri investment is done by the father of Brahmana when he is 11 years old. Well, it's not necessarily 11 years old. It's different in different gotras and different branches of the. But the boy should not see the sun for many days, since the Brahma Gayatri is a solar mantra and is locked up in a room with the windows shut and given only havishyana, porridge without salt, spices or sugar, to eat. And who's following that nowadays? So where are your Brahmanas? Increasingly the Brahmanas, if they have Upanayanam at all, they do it the day before their marriage, because they're supposed to, when they're like 28 years old, because it's cheaper to do it that way, because it's a big social function. It's just a farce. The Upanayanam that's going on, if it goes on at all, it's just a farce. So practically these conditions that you're talking about don't apply anymore. Quoting from Brihad Bhagavatamrita, the status of a Brahmana, I will surely slacken in my practice of the mantra that I received from the bona fide guru. The Vaishnavas who are given Brahman initiation, they're not trained to think of themselves primarily as Brahmanas, but as Brahmanism is a function within Vaishnavism. Just like if you have 1,000 rupees, you have 100 rupees. They're not trained to think of themselves as Brahmanas primarily. Point H is more innuendo. there's never been a prohibition by the Goswamis or the scriptures against calling household acharyas Goswami. So, yeah, all right, that's accepted. If a householder is actually giving initiation and he's actually controlling his senses, he may be called Goswami. We don't have any objection to that. Although we do have an objection to those who claim to be, that the only Goswamis are those who's by their family name, just like you find some people have the Brahmachari name. They have the family name Brahmachari or the family name Tyagi. So it's kind of meaningless. Regarding family succession, there is no reason that one should not be initiated by one's parents. Okay, we agree with that. Deviating from the Shastras is often apologized for the argument. I already discussed that to some extent. Some say, well, all the scriptural evidence is nice, but Prabhupada is beyond that. Prabhupada didn't go against Shastra, but he applied Shastra according to the need of the present time, just like every Acharya does. There's no Acharya who follows everything in Shastra, because that's the very meaning of an Acharya, who gives, he gives that which is from Shastra, which is required and able to be followed by his followers so they can advance toward the ultimate purpose of life. What Prabhupada gave in the 1960s to Westerners is not going to be the same as that was, not going to be exactly the same in detail as that which was given 500 years ago by the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Saying that Prabhupada's success doesn't prove anything because Rajneesh has millions of followers. Well, there is a great difference between Rajneesh. What Srila Prabhupada established, the understanding of Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vedic culture, religious principles, four regulated principles, and I mean, it's a very different thing. To compare him to Rajneesh is, again, it's a totally inapt comparison. Srila Prabhupada was empowered by Krishna to give authentic Krishna consciousness to others. Rajneesh was empowered to take others to hell. So there's no comparison there. Then there's quoting the Shrutis, those who don't follow Shruti and Smriti are haters of me. Well, is there anyone, including the author of this text, who follows everything in Shruti and Smriti? Again, this is more innuendo, that's all. Okay, finished.